and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney's Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Some young people, give a shout to Jesus. And all the older people, scream unto God right now. I want you to give your pastors, Pastor Brad and Allison, such a big, big hand. You know, it takes great faith to have someone that you have never heard preach on your stage, man. I thank you. So give them another round of applause right now. So are you, please be seated. Thank you, musician. You are awesome. I want to take you back to Malaysia. If you're married, if you're single, we can find you live. Oh, I mean wife. All right. Are you ready right now? Met your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready right now. Time another neighbor and say, neighbor, smile. Jesus loves you. If your neighbor does not smile, say, the other guy loves you, not Jesus. This afternoon, I want to talk to you about storms of life. Storms of life. I want to know all of us are going to face storms in life. The issue is not about facing storms in life. The issue is this: do you have faith in the storms? My title of my sermon is this: Faithing Through the Storm. Bad English, but great sermon title. Faithing Through the Storms. See, I want you to understand, faith is more than a noun, it's a verb. That means faith has the ability to change situations. Faith has the ability to do something great in your life. Faith has the ability to take things and turn it around. This afternoon, I was just thinking, I don't know about you, but in Malaysia, sometimes Christians have this idea that the longer you are a Christian, somehow or another, storms will pass you by. I mean, if you come to church on time and early and you're one of those jumping in the front, you're serving God and you pay your tithe, somehow or another, we have this weird notion that we are immune to the storms of life. Now, I just want to check one more time. Do you understand my English? Yeah, because there's no response from the crowd. I'm kind of worried because when there's no response, I'm thinking that you don't understand my English right now, because I have many types of English. I have Malaysian English, la. And then I've got Indian English, hello, how are you? And I've got English, the one that I'm trying to preach right now. If you don't understand, raise your hands and I'll pray for healing right now. I want you to understand, none of us are immune from the storms of life. Every one of us will face storms in life. And here's the truth. Sometimes God allows us to go through storms. Sometimes God leads us into the storm. And everyone has storms. Sometimes we have relationship storm. We have financial storm. We have emotional storm. We have physical storm. We all go through storms. And I want you to understand, every time you go through a storm, that does not mean that God hates you. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean God wants to punish you. He just wants you to change your focus. He wants you to focus not on the storm, but on Jesus. He wants to test your faith and where your faith is. So this afternoon, I want you to turn with me to a passage of Bible that's found in Mark chapter 4, 35 to 36. If you find it, say yes. If you have brought a Bible, I want you to turn it with me. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to look at your neighbor's Bible. And if your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, question them. Why didn't they bring the Bible to church? What's wrong with them? The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and that evening day, when that day evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. I want to give you a scenario right now. It was a busy day for Jesus. It was a busy weekend of ministry, and Jesus has been preaching and doing a lot of miracles, and all of a sudden, after everything, right after the 6 o'clock service, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, bro, let us take a midnight cruise across the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples, of course, excited, said, sure, Jesus, let's go. But Jesus had a knack, had a habit of sending people over and not being in the boat, because the last time he did that, he walked on water and they were in a storm. So the disciples decided, hey, listen, we're smart. We're going to make sure that he gets in the boat this time. They got in the boat, and then it was supposed to be a 3.5-hour journey. 1.5 hour in the journey, something began to happen. The Bible says in verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so it was there nearly swamped. Halfway through the journey, halfway through the cruise, something began to happen. There was a storm. This was no normal storm. This was a big storm because the Bible says it was a furious squall. You know what a furious squall is? It's a furious squall. The water was coming in and they were nearly swarmed. And I'm thinking at that point, I'm reading this passage. Jesus, did you know when you suggested that we go on a midnight cruise, did you know that we were about to hit a storm? Jesus, did you know when I decided to give my life to you, when I decided to follow you, when I decided to serve you, when I decided to give to you, did you know at some point in my life I'm going to hit a storm? And I want you to know Jesus knew. But here's my second question. Jesus, why in the world, knowing there's going to be a storm, would you send me into that journey? Jesus, why would you knowingly send me? Jesus, why would you knowingly allow me to go through this thing? And the answer is this. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficult situations in our life to test our focus. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficult situations in life to test our faith. Maybe some of you are right now in a storm. And it's a difficult storm. Some of you are going through a financial storm. Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe it's your loved one. Maybe it's your child that's going wayward. Maybe it's a situation that's beyond you. Maybe it's a sickness. I want you to understand, all of us will go through storm. Yeah. Some of you just came out of a storm. And you're like, hey, I just came out. And some of you don't know what a storm is. Here's a prophetic word for each and every one of you. Write it down. You're going to hit a storm sooner or later. And you know about it. But I want you to understand, the storm was hitting them. But I also want you to understand, every storm that Jesus allows you to go through is a test. It's a test of your faith. It's a test of your focus. Your storms are nothing more than a test. There are three types of tests most Christians will go through. The first one is called the pressure test. When you're following Jesus and your faith is being challenged, your commitment to Jesus is being challenged, and there's so much pressure from the external, you want to give in to sexual temptation, you want to give in to the things of this world, and you're being pressured. And some of you know how to put on a show. You've been Christianized. You come to church, hallelujah, praise God. But on the inside, you are like a pressure cooker ready to blow. The question is this, when you're going through the pressures of life, are you going to blow up? Are you going to allow Jesus to simmer you through? The second test most of us go through is called the people test. There's certain people God puts in your life that drive the Jesus out of you. Some of you call them mother-in-law. Mine is not here, so I can say it right now. There's some people in church that they come to you and God puts them in your life so that he can test your faith. He can test your love. You know, you're coming to church, all of a sudden you walk out of church, you're praising God, and you're walking and you're walking and you're walking, and all of a sudden you see that person and you do a repentance act. Nah, I'm going home. It's not that hard to love, they are impossible to love. They have the supernatural demonic ability to find the raw nerve in your life and prick it. I have some of them in my church. But it's a third type of test that God takes you through. It's the perseverance test. When you're going through a commitment that you have made to God, God, I want to fast. God, I want to give. When the pressures are on and you're being tested to give up, to surrender, will you hold on to Jesus and go through that test? See, all I want you to remember is this. Every storm is a test. It's a test in life. It's a test of your faith. It's a test of your focus. I don't know about you. In Malaysia, we have this thing called an emergency fire drill. Every year, twice a year in school, when I was in school, that was a long time ago. Do you have emergency fire drill in school? Well, I love it. Because I know that at that point in time, something good's about to happen. I got to skip class. So I remember every year the teacher would come in and say, boys, I go to all boys school, say, boys, I want you to know this week there's going to be an emergency fire drill. On Monday, there's no fire drill. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's no fire drill. On Friday, you know there's a fire drill. You are excited. You come to church, and you're in the middle of a class, and all of a sudden, the alarm bell goes, kring, and it doesn't stop. Kring, and all of a sudden, you hear the sweetest word that could ever come out of your teacher's mouth. It says, boy, stand up. Leave your books and your hallelujah bags behind. And walk out two by two into the out, no, into the field. And two by two, we were marched out of the class into the field, and you turn around to your horror, the school is still standing. Then you realize it's just a test. It's nothing more than a test. Every storm that you face in life is a test of your faith, it's a test of your focus, and where your reliance is on. Wow. Yeah. This was nothing more than a test. Hey, wait a minute. You remember the guy Jesus? The one that suggested that we go on a midnight cruise? That made sure that he was in the boat? He's silent right now. Now I'm wondering, where is Jesus in the midst of all these things? And the Bible says in verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I don't know which is more upsetting, if he's suggesting that we go on a midnight cruise or he's sleeping. I don't know which is more upsetting, that Jesus is sleeping in the midst of my storm. How could Jesus be sleeping in the midst of your storm and my storm? But it dawned upon me, the silence of his presence in the storm is not the absence of his power to calm the storm. You got to understand, his silence does not equal to powerlessness. His silence doesn't mean he doesn't care. His silence means he's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to ask him. He's waiting for you to say, Jesus, I need you. See, I want you to understand, the disciples, some of them were fishermen. Simon Peter, James, Andrew, they were fishermen. They've been through many storms. Maybe I was thinking, and I was reading this, and I realized, maybe they were just like me. They were trying all that they could do to get themselves out of the storm. They were trying, they were using their skill, they were using their resources, they're using their ability, they're using their know-how, they're using whatever they can, and they could not get out of the storm. And when their ruse, nothing seemed to work, all of a sudden the Bible says in verse 38, the disciples woke him and says, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Teacher, don't you care? How many times when we go through the storms of life because we believe God, we begin to question God. God, don't you care? God, don't you care? My marriage is breaking apart. God, don't you care? My child is wayward. God, don't you care? My finance is going. God, don't you care? This sickness is it? We follow God, but when the storm gets greater than us, we think God does not care. God, you don't care. But I want you to understand, God always cares. God always cares. But here's the thing about God that you need to understand. When it deals with temptation and sin, God will not allow you to be resist to the point that you fall into sin. He will test you to the point where he knows you can handle. But here's the thing that you need to know about adversity and trouble. When you go through adversity and trouble, God will allow you to be burdened until you cannot handle it anymore. He will allow you to be burdened. He will allow you to go through until all you have is him. See, the disciple says, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? They didn't say, Jesus, don't you care, we are in a storm. Because every one of them knew there's going to be storm at any point in time in life. Every one of us know in this room, there will be problems in life, there will be crises in life, there will be difficulties in life, there will be something bad. Most of us will not turn to Jesus until we start drowning. It's so true. All of us, you know, most of us, when we are sick, we never turn to Jesus first. We go in the name of Panadol. Before we go in the name of Jesus. I mean, most of us will get up in the morning. If I'm having a flu, I don't even call in the name of Jesus. I just go to my cupboard and take out the P-A-N-A-D-O-L. Stick the pop two and I'm okay, right? But here's the thing. 3 days later, nothing happens. You're panicking. 1 week later, you go see a doctor. And the doctor says, you're bad. It's bronchitis. All of a sudden, all of us will go, Jesus, don't you care? I'm dying. You know, none of us worry about our financial situation until the bank knocks on our door and gives that. You have a red letter here? The one letter that comes and says, last morning. Nobody worries about it until he's there. That's when they go, Jesus, I need your help right now. You see, when life becomes unmanageable, that's when we start to look at Jesus. And God will allow you to be burdened to the point you cannot handle it. And the Apostle Paul said it very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. So we are despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we have received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on. See, God will allow you to be burdened to the point you cannot handle it. When you think you cannot be able, you think you got all things worked out, and you realize all that you have worked out is nothing compared to what the storm is coming against you, and you are failing miserably, and your life is breaking apart. It is at that point in time you will start to look for Jesus. The disciples didn't look for Jesus at the beginning of the storm. It's when they realized they could not handle the storm, all of a sudden they turned to Jesus, isn't it? Here's the problem with us. We have a name that is so powerful, and yet we do not turn to that name. We have a name that his name is above every other name, and his name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Demons flee, sickness be healed. There's a power in the name, and yet we do not rely on the name as the beginning point. We only rely on the name when it's all gone. And Jesus says, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait until all that you have is me. That's when I move. I will wait. When the storm is ready to drown you, that's when you're. That's why I say the end of man is the beginning of God. The end of man is the beginning of God. The end of everything, when you have done all that you could do and all that you have done is nothing. Your wisdom is nothing. Your strength is nothing. Your finances is nothing. Your resources is nothing. And all nothing, then you say, Jesus. Isn't it true? Most of us accept Christ at the point when there's nothing left but Jesus. And most of us do not turn to Jesus until all we have is Jesus. And we turn to him and cry. It's interesting, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. I mean, nobody in their right mind would sleep through a storm. It's not like, you know, once on this rock, goodbye, baby. Nah, it's a storm. It's freak. It scares you. I don't know. It's as bad as turbulence. You don't trip the, you know, the belt comes on, you put it on, and you're praying. I pray because I fly Malaysian Airlines, so. See, tell me three things about how could Jesus sleep through a storm? Because number one, he must be pretty tired to sleep through a storm. Number two, he must have known something that the disciple didn't know. Number three, he must have an inner tranquility that surpasses all that storm can do. And I suddenly realized that night there were not one storm that was going on. There was two storms. There was an external storm that was hitting everybody and causing a havoc. But there was a second storm that was happening that night that was not seen by most people, but by Jesus. It was an internal storm of fear. The fear that was inside of them. The fear that they were crippled. That they were thinking they were about to drown. Even though they have seen many miracles before that. Even though Jesus is in their boat. They were fearful. Yeah. That internal storm. See, God can calm the external storm. Yeah. But for you to go through every storm that life has for you, he needs to calm your inner storm. Yeah. See, Jesus understood that he's not going to be around all the time. He's got to teach them how to go through every storm when he's gone. That's why when Jesus got up out of bed, he said he got up and the disciples says, Jesus, don't you care you're drowning? Jesus didn't say a word. My Jesus is different from your Jesus. My Jesus would have walked up to the boat, at the edge of the boat. He would have been cool. He would have gone to the storm and says, shh. And the storm went, shh. Your Jesus will most probably say, hush, be still. My Jesus is much cooler than your Jesus. And Jesus, after he does that, he turns to his disciples and says, why do you still doubt? Why are you afraid? He was not dealing with the external storms of life. He was dealing with the internal storms of life because he knew there are going to be a million more storms. See, when you can calm the inner storm, no matter how great the external storm is, you are not worried. You know God got your back. You don't have to worry your resources because he's got abundance. You don't have to trust your skills because he's the master. You don't have to trust your experience because he created all things. See, you know that God got your back. I want to end with this one story. Many years ago, I went fishing. I love fishing and I still do fishing. So one day I decided to go fishing and I just bought a brand new rod and reel. It's a deep sea rod and reel. If you don't know anything about fishing, just act like you do. And I decided to go fishing, and I decided to call my friend, and both of us hired a boat, and the boatman was a good friend of mine, and we went out fishing, but my boatman decided not to take me deep sea fishing. He took me about 50 meters from the shore, and we were catching fish, and the fish were about this big, but I was not happy on the inside, because I've got a brand new rod and reel for deep sea fishing. So I turned around, I got bored after a while, I turned around and says, let's launch into the deep. The boatman said, there's a storm coming. I looked out at the horizon, name of this church, and I did not see a cloud or a storm. I turned around and says, the man of God has spoken, launch into the deep. So what happened was this, we took our anchors out, we launched out an hour boat ride into the sea. This is how bad it was. You could not see land. All you saw was water, sky, and I dropped my brand new rod and you put a huge weight to it, drop it down, and the thing was moving like that. 15 minutes into my fishing, I saw dark clouds. The man of God said, it's time to go home. I reeled up my brand new rod and reel, put it up in the boat, and we were heading back to the shore. Half an hour into that journey, the storm caught up with us. And here I was in the storm at the back of the boat, holding on to the pillar in the boat. My back was facing, I was facing the back of the boat. And the storm had caught up, it was furious. It was pretty bad, it was extremely bad. It was so bad that I was afraid. And I was holding on to the boat, and at one point, all I could see in front of me was sea, sea, sea. And I remembered, the Bible says no turning back, so I turned around. I held on to the pole still, and all of a sudden I saw was sky, sky, sky. This is how the boat was going. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. And I was holding on to that pole, and I was praying to God. God, I'm not ready to die. If I die, there's not going to be any revival in Penang. If I die, many people are going to go to hell. Oh, by the way, God, if you could calm the storm, you could do it. I was afraid. I mean, I was terrified. I thought I was about to die that day. Because I've never been through a storm. Not in the middle of sea. Where the wave goes, psh, psh. At one point, I was holding on, my dude. I was praying, and I was stiff there. And all of a sudden, the next moment, the boat went up, and all I saw was sky. And at a point in time, the boat hit. And as the boat hit, I looked at the front of me, and all of a sudden, I shifted my eyes to the right, and I saw my boatman in the middle of the boat. This is what he was doing. Heathen, are you not afraid? I'm about to die. The thoughts were going off my head because I was angry because he was calm. Because I was afraid. And I was holding on for my dear love, angry at my boatman. And as I was going through the moment, suddenly it dawned on me. He knew something about the storm that I didn't. He has been through many storms. There have been bigger storms than this. And he has the confidence to get us home. At that point in time, when that dawned upon me, I took 3 steps of faith. 3 giant steps of faith. Let go of the pole. Step 1. Step 2. Step 3. I was next to him. I sat down and I just nudged into him. This is what happened. All of a sudden, when I sat beside my captain, there was a calmness that came into my life. The storm did not stop. But I was not afraid. Because my trust is not in myself, but the one that was piloting the boat. The man that has been through many storms, the man's confidence has given me confidence to believe I'm going to get through. And all of a sudden, I just sat there, all calm, relaxed. Storm was still raging, but I was calm. And many times in our faith, in our walk with Jesus, God doesn't calm the external storm because he wants to calm the internal storm. Because when he calms the internal storm, no matter how great the storm was on the outside, no matter how many storms that you go through, no matter what magnitude or what problem you have, you got the confidence that Jesus got your back. He has the inner peace, and his peace will be surpasses the understanding will be for you and you alone. You will know no matter what you're going through, God will get you through. See, most of us want God to stop the external storm. But I want you to know, most of the time, God wants to deal with his part. God wants you to say, hey, I got your back. It's not about the storm, it's about me. I've got you. You're going through the sickness, I want you to understand, healing may not happen at this point in time, I got you. If you have the inner peace that I'm in control, no matter what happens, if you die, you're with me. But if I heal you, it's okay. But whatever you're going through, as an inner storm, calm. See, that's what Jesus wants to do for each and every one of us. He wants us to be calm on the inside. He wants us to know that, you know what, whatever you're going through, I know. And I've got your back. I want you to know that I'm going to get you home. I want you to know I'm still the captain of your boat. And all you got to do is look for me. If you park yourself next to me, you got nothing to worry about. The storm may be there, but you got to understand, I'm also there. And all of a sudden, you know what? No matter what life throws at you, you're calm. You're calm, and you say, Jesus, take the wheel. You are in control. This is my question for each and every one of you. I don't know what storm you're going through, but I know Jesus knows. But I also know Jesus has a plan or way out for the storm, but before he does that, he wants to shift your faith. He wants to shift your focus. Because if your focus is on the storm, you will be thinking about drowning. But if your faith is in him and your focus is in him, you'll be thinking about living under the peace of God. And all of a sudden, you can go through anything in life. And you can say, Jesus got my back. That's all. I don't know what you're going through, but this in this atmosphere, maybe you're not a Christian. You're here for the very first time. And you're seated here and you're wondering to yourself, you know, Pastor, do you understand what you're saying? I say, I do. But here's what you need to understand. What you're going through is not greater. But I want you to know there's a God that is greater than what you're going through. And he's a God that wants to come into your life and tell you, I've got your back. See, salvation is not about eternity. Salvation is about every day. Every day where you know God's got your back. If you're not a Christian and you're in this room, I want you to understand believing in Jesus is the simplest thing. You don't have to think very hard. You don't have to do anything. The Bible says just believe. Faith, that's all faith. Just believe. You know, we believe in a lot of stuff in life. When it comes to God, we get so confused. How can I believe in a God that cannot see? But yet every single day we believe in stuff that we are crazy. How many of you go up to a door and you press a button, the door opens, and you go in and you press another button, he hurls you up 22 feet, 22 stories up in the air. You get into a lift, that won't happen, right? How many of you in that room, right? How many of you in this room, right, have gone up to the lift and you read that piece of paper signed by somebody you didn't know and you believe? How many of you have checked the cable that's holding on to the lift? And yet we do it every single day. We believe a statement, but we dare not believe a God that created us and loves us so much that he gave his only son to us. In a moment's time, I'm going to pray. If you're not a Christian, I want you to think about giving your life to Jesus. Because he may not calm the storm, but he can help you get through every storm. Maybe you're not, you're here in church and you backslide, you move far away from God. And today somebody invited you to church, and well, seated here, you're hearing this message and something inside of your head, you hear the voice behind my voice, and a voice says to you, it's time to come home. In a moment's time, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want you to raise your hands. When you raise your hands, it's not something magical. See, faith has an element of action. And when you believe, it's not just saying it yourself, but doing something just a little bit more, just raising your hands. When you raise your hands, you say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm here. This is my act of following you. This is my act of believing. But it's a third group of people that I want to pray for today. You're going through a storm, and it caused you to doubt God. Caused you to give up on your faith. You come to church every single week. You go through the motion of Christianity. You go through the routine of every service, but in your heart, there is no belief in God anymore. And if you're one of those, today you need to just shift your focus from the storm to the Jesus that is in the house, to the presence that is here. So I want every head bowed, every eye closed. One more minute.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.